Good morning, everyone. We are resuming our study today in document number 62, and we're on page 611. So this actually introduces another document. And we left off on point 19, I believe it is, but I want to go back to point 16 to sort of get us back to where we need to be. Here's how these points read to get us cracking this morning. This is the devil's world. If you ever doubted that, you shouldn't anymore. It has fallen and functions under the rulership of Lucifer. Throughout history, from the fall in Eden to the millennial kingdom of Christ, this rebel angel seeks to propagandize witnesses for the prosecution with his cosmic propaganda. He has emissaries doing that are human. He also has one-third of the fallen angels in his army, and they know what they're doing, and I would warn you that we are in the hostile environment of the devil's world. The elect angels, of course, are witnesses for the prosecution, and they're doing their duty, but nevertheless, this is a contest. There's only one thing really going on. And what's going on is the invisible war. And therefore, the angelic concepts are actually what's going on around you, and they are invisible if you don't know how to recognize what they're up to. The elect angels, of course, are in this battle, but it's all about volition. Everything is about volition, and people have the ability to accept the truth or reject it. And so propaganda becomes a concept and an idea that is prevalent on both sides of the ledger. You can know the truth, use your volition to retain it, recall it, and apply it. And if you don't, even as believers, if you don't understand the Word of God through serious study of its content, then you can be easily propagandized by the dark side. And if ever in my lifetime, and I'm older than anybody here, if it's ever been a time in my life when I have seen the complete loss of thought, it is that's become prevalent over the last three-ish years. And this client nation is in a situation where they're going to be challenged. And when I say they, I mean the population of this client nation. There are people who know what they're doing because their tutors are from the dark side, and there's nothing new about the angelic conflict. And there's nothing new about a client nation in decline. We've got a lot of record for that. It started out in a place called Rome, and it moved gradually westward to the present hour. And none of them survived in Europe, and we're on the verge. Now, I will say this to you. You are here gathered together doing your duty. There are others who are using electronic contrivances to listen along with us. The numbers are shrinking. Shrinking because of this, the loss of thought. The loss of thought means the absence of Bible doctrine in the souls of the people of Client Nation America. And doesn't matter whether you're a believer or not, believers have lost the thought. If that were not true, then we would not be going through the contest we presently have engaged. And so what we're studying is simply, and every time you open the Bible and whatever Bible class you're teaching, what you are doing is trying to get your mind right about the dark side, because they are in opposition to us. And the only way we can play in their ball game is to have a system of thought that trumps theirs. And when that number of people shrinks, then we have chaos within the society. Now, you know this because you're awake and you're vertical. And you know exactly what's going on around you. It's not good. Yet we gather together here, whoever shows up, to try and acquire and then aggrandize within our souls the ideas, principles, and doctrines that will allow us to be good soldiers for Christ and therefore witnesses for the prosecution. Listen to this. This is the devil's world. Point 16, if you're curious. It is fallen and functions under the rulership of Lucifer. Throughout history, from the fall in Eden to the millennial kingdom of Christ, this rebel angel seeks to propagandize witnesses for the prosecution with his cosmic propaganda. I don't know if you own a television, but you can watch the chaos unfold in your own living room. And, of course, you have doctrine, and you can exegete what's being communicated. Some people don't know how to exegete watching television. 17. Throughout world history, this invisible war has been waged by the dark side, which recruits, trains, deploys, and supports human acolytes, many of whom are believers, absent doctrine. 18. The only counterattack against this strategy is the immutable Word of God. That's done by Homo sapiens, of which you're a part, who accumulate in certain areas of real estate where they unite to form a priest or a client nation. Point 19 resumes our study. These national entities were originally formed by the Jews as priest nations. However, Lucifer was able to overwhelm the last one when Titus and the Roman army defeated the Jews on August 10 of AD 70. That did away with priest nations. And shortly thereafter, about 25-ish years, we had the completion of the canon of Scripture. We have the finished product with us now, and they had it then at approximately 95 AD. From that emerged individuals who had spiritual gifts, four of which were communication gifts. In the early days of the church age, there were people who had the gift of prophecy, and therefore these things went forward for a generation. But it ultimately was ginned down to evangelists and pastor teachers. The canon is sealed. The canon is complete. Evangelists go out into the devil's world and recruit new representatives for the light by faith alone in Christ alone. Pastor teachers will accumulate in certain areas of real estate at what are called churches or other venues, and they communicate exegetically the Word of God from the original languages. Those who gather are able to take in information that is immutable. There's no wonderment about anything in Scripture. It's all right there, and it tells you about what's not good, what's wrong, what's cosmic, and it tells you what is those kinds of things that are provided for us so that we can trump the dark side with our thoughts, decisions, and actions. And therefore, there's a contest going on. It has since Eden and will continue to do so until what we call the end of the church age and open up the tribulational chaos. That would be the rapture of the church. Now, you don't need to pray for the rapture of the church because God knows when he's going to pull that trigger. But that's when we get out of Dodge. So if you think that things are going on and it's not too well, just be encouraged by this. The worse and worse it gets, the closer we get to being evacuated. In the meantime, your job is to keep moving forward, pressing the attack, coming to Bible class, learning the Word, pulling your volitional triggers out in the hostile environment of Cosmos Diabolicus. And that's your duty. These national entities were originally formed by the Jews as priest nations. However, Lucifer was able to overwhelm the last one when Titus and the Roman army defeated the Jews August 10, A.D. 70. It is of interest, following this fall of Jerusalem, that over the next two centuries, Christianity began to emerge as a new religion. It's okay to use the word religion and when you focus it on Christianity. But that's a word that can be used for any type of organization that wants to communicate what they think is immutable truth. There's only one immutable truth. That's the Word of God, the Bible, Old and New Testaments. And you delve into that, you will learn what's going on in history. If you go to the university and you decide, I am going to major in history, when I get done with that, I'll get a master's degree in history. And then when I get done with that, I'll get a doctor's degree in history. And I know all about history. And what you know about is the angelic conflict, if you're wise enough to know it. Protestant Reformation. That's when they got fed up in Europe. Catholicism emerged and started propagandizing the masses in Europe. And when one client nation would fall because of the influence, then people moved geographically westward to get away from it, and therefore the ultimate solution was Protestant theology, to which we subscribe. And when you understand what's really going on in Cosmos Diabolicus, and you have wonderful examples today, so to speak, then you realize that there have been wars fought on this earth from the get-go. But they were visible. The one that has transpired since the fall in Eden is invisible. And to be able to discern what's invisible requires an inculcation of divine thought from one resource, and that's the Word of God, done exegetically in the church age. During this time, Western Europe's advances in New Testament theology resulted in the development of several client nations. The present one in New World America tenuously holds the title all the way up to 2023. Let's just say that when they landed the boat in Massachusetts, that started something. It was called Christianity from the standpoint of New Testament theology. They fled Europe because the thought had been lost there. And our founders decided they wanted to go somewhere, and they got wind of the fact that there was another continent to the west. And so a group of people landed in Massachusetts and set up shop. That started the whole process, and here we are now, not 250 years later. Couldn't even make it a quarter of a millennium before the wheels came off. You are not responsible for that. You're the ones who, shall I say, hold the fort. But forts can be overrun. I've seen enough Western movies to know sometimes that doesn't play out. You can watch these Western movies and you got a fort and you got guys on the inside, usually with weapons, and they got horses and they got sentries. Those that are good at shooting their guns are able to hold off whoever challenges them. And then once the smoke clears, they fix what was broken and keep moving. We've got shores on each side. The walls of the shores have been penetrated by the dark side, visibly, to aggrandize what's been going on, let's say silently, for the last 240 plus years. Now we're in a situation to where the enemy is visible. It's visible from the outside because they are tampering with our shores, and invisible from the dark side, which we know from Scripture. You deal with that every day. Bible doctrine is the solution for the problem, but client nations fall when Bible doctrine is not studied, retained, and therefore applied. And that is what I mean by the loss of thought. The stability of the believers in client nation United States has been so indoctrinated by the faculties of the Satanic Academy of Cosmic Didactics, and that done over the past century, that Lucifer's recruits are systematically overwhelming believers who have no doctrinal inventory to discern the lie, being lied to straight-faced, and they buy the lie. Because people who are really good at propaganda have learned how to propagandize those who have no defense department in their souls, even believers. The one mission that you presently have, if you have not already realized this, the one mission you have is this: stand by the truth. If you don't know what the truth is, then get into Bible class and do so consistently, face to face, and also electronically. Your job is to become a good soldier for Christ, even more so than you've ever been. The more you know from the Word of God gives you concepts, ideas, principles, and doctrines that are immutable in the hostile environment of the devil's world. This is where you come. And if you ever allow yourself to be afraid, you are a loser. You do not have that option. Can you imagine an army deployed against an enemy? And you're on the front lines. And sometimes a flare will go up that starts everything moving. And when you see the flare from the other side, you become afraid. That's literal war. And I have never been in a literal war. Some of you may have. We have a lot of people on our prayer list who have been in the military and presently are, and some of those have actually been in combat. And on the front ranks, I would imagine there's a lot of fear at the very beginning. But what clicks in is the training. Once the flare goes up, the training clicks in, and you know what to do because you've got to. And because you got the training and the ability to recall what the higher-ups in the ranks have taught you, who have also been on the front ranks in their life. You have to stand fast, and you have to move forward. And you may be afraid, but fear is not an option. Do what you've been taught to do. You've been through the process of how those who've been at war have survived it and can report back to you, both verbally and realistically, what it's like to be against a visible enemy. Same idea when the invisible war is being discussed. You cannot be afraid of a visible enemy who are really emissaries for the dark side, which is invisible. Yet, from Bible doctrine, you know the invisible people who are out there. And these are the dark side. And they're called the demons. So I'm just bloviating now, but I'm trying to put you in the context of where you are as an individual Christian. And boil it down to this. Regardless of what's going on around us in client nation America, regardless of that, fear is not an option. The expected result of this current trend is twofold. Number one, rejection by the few who remain positive based on a high inventory of biblical absolutes. The Bible is filled with absolutes, some positive, some negative. You need to know both. You need to know when the lie is being communicated, and the Scripture tells you how to discern that. Also, the other way around, what's actually divine viewpoint, how that is immutable. So here we go. The expected result of this current trend is twofold: rejection of the few who remain positive based on a high inventory of biblical absolutes. Secondly, capitulation by the many who do not have the doctrine to defend their souls and instead apply solutions taught in the Cosmic Academy. And the Cosmic Academy has always been education. We know that from the 1920s and have studied it and how it has been aggrandized for an entire century or more. And the targets have been your children. Not top down, but bottom up. If you can remember that, you know what's going on. So you can send your children off to school. But what you're doing is putting them right into the heart of hell if you don't have control of what's happening to your own children. I saw passing by the television this morning, there were people on the Fox News channel discussing what's going on in the schools today with children. I reached over and got the little gizmo and punched the little red dot. Because I wanted to go back, and that's where you can record it and go back and look at it later. So I punched that. I don't know when, what hour it started, but I've got that sucker recorded. They had charts and graphs. This was on some morning show on the Fox News channel. I just got the gist, and when I got that gist, I thought, I need to have all of this. I don't know if you can, you have a gizmo that'll get it for you, but it was the 7 to 8 o'clock hour. No, the 8 to 9 o'clock hour. We were on the verge of leaving, and I got the gizmo and punched that, and we walked out the door. As a result, believers ignorant of truth criticize believers who apply doctrinal guidance from the Word. Believers ignorant of truth criticize believers. Believers do this. They send their children to the federal schools. And when the children come home, they don't know that they've been propagandized all day long to hate their parents. Now, one day out is not a big deal. But when it's first grade on, year after year after year, propaganda all year long by professionals. Some of them have doctor's degrees in education. They call them Dr. Jones. Ms. Dr. Jones, Mr. Dr. Jones, here's my paper. I have a paper that shows that I'm a professional propagandist that are stealing the souls of your children. Now, I'm sure somewhere that you can't get out of this room right now, be rude. But you can get out of here in about another 25 minutes, and you can flee into the river road out there and pick your distance. I don't suggest you go straight. You'll drown in the river. But you can take a left or a right. And what I'm telling you is the absolute truth, and it's over a century old. John Dewey. He was simply the mouthpiece for what went on in the Frankfurt School in Germany. See, they lost the war on the battlefield, but they've won it in the classroom. So again, as a result, believers ignorant of truth criticize believers who apply doctrinal guidance from the Word. This circumstance may be defined as a spiritual civil war. The doctrinally ignorant take the high ground in opposition to those who have spiritual discernment. Yet God remains as the only lawmaker and judge. He's the one who is able to deliver or to destroy. And regardless of the political circumstances of the United States, God is still in charge. With His word, with His plan, He has got a system. It's in Scripture. You can learn it. You can aggrandize it, facilitate it, and apply it. And with that information, God honors His word wherever it is found. There is a need for fear in the present hour of client nation America. There is a need for fear for those who don't know how to fight an invisible war. And they are fearful, and they should be, because they don't have a defense department in their soul to deal with it. You're here as a representative of the God of this universe. You are needed here. You're the ones who can stand up and say no further. And you do so until they take you out. But somebody has to have the thought and the willingness to aggrandize it and then to apply it in the hostile environment of the devil's world. This is Lucifer's outfit, and you are not wanted here. And therefore, you cannot be afraid. The current national decline into reversionism may be hopefully described as a very necessary wake-up call. It's always good to be given a heads up. The question is whether two groups of citizens have enough resident standards that can be awakened to do battle against those who are deconstructing the nation's spirit into what the dark side refers as the new normal. The new normal. They showed on the television program that I can't wait to get back home to see all of it. The little kids turn out to be discerning as best they can because they're just children, discerning that what is going on are things that they should not be learning. That's what I wanted to see on this report. They had graphs and charts. They've done the research. The little children are seeing things taught to them that they wonder about. Some of them are rejecting, and they're going home and telling their parents, and the parents are therefore forming opinions as well with regard to accepting or rejecting. Wouldn't it be something if the little children are the canaries in the coal mine? Little children, canaries in the coal mine. These two groups include unbelievers, but who still subscribe to establishment standards within their society, and believers whose doctrinal inventory is being recalled and possibly facilitated. Well, God knows. And verse 12 holds the key. There is only one lawgiver and judge, and He is able to deliver and destroy. Will the chaos reach a critical point when the few enlarge into the many and say no further? when the few become the many. Is that possible? Could it be that these children, they had graphs up on the wall on Fox News this morning? Could it be the children somehow see that something's not right? Wouldn't that be something? Children, little children, all the way from grade school, all the way up to senior high schools, little children are seeing the lie. Wouldn't that be something? Well, I can't, maybe I'm just overblowing this because I've just stood by the TV for about 3 minutes and I was transfixed on the stats that were put on the board. Can't wait to get home. I'll report back Wednesday. You're not going to be able to see it because you didn't pass by your TV like I did. I passed by and stopped for about 3 minutes and I said to Joe Henry, I'm pushing the red button. We'll see how that played out. It's always an end game, so there's that. So, all right. I think I'm at point 30. Is that right, Henry? Oh, I'm at 29. Well, I don't know. I don't know what it is I don't know. So we're going back to 28. Will the chaos reach a critical point when the few enlarge into the many and say no further? We don't know that. But, big fat juicy but here. But James is calling on those in chapter 4 to join the fray. And to giant up, one must come back to establishment viewpoint and doctrinal viewpoint. Where do you go for that? You go to at the local church or an electronic contrivance. Two options. We have Doritos, they're called, because we know that they're still in their pajamas. They've made it to wherever their computer is. And they've got their coffee already in their right hand. And allegedly, there are Bibles in the room. And we know from Paul, because he's the statistician, the guru of the voodoo, that about 680 people get the class notes. These are class notes. You have one of them in your thing there. There's one thing to send them out. And about 680 people, no, 680 computers get the notes. And they punch a button and it'll spit it out, 10 pages. Okay. And we know from Paul that there's around 680 who get the print, the electronic printout. It's not a printout. It's buried in the device. And a person go to that and say, oh, I say, that Griffin dude. And that's the end of that. So how many of the 680 actually print out the doctrine? Doctrinal. How many of those print it out? then do they go to the gizmo and listen to what I've got to say? They say, oh, God. If it wasn't so boring, you know. So, cha-ching. So let's just say that half the people actually either listen to the recording or actually log on. Now the people out in California, they're still sleeping. So the fact that the people in California can get the notes and then you can get the control. Very few people, especially in California. I don't know if electricity is even on out there. These two groups, listen to me. I want to go back to this. These two groups, the new normal, the dark side refers to the new normal. These two groups include unbelievers, but who still subscribe to establishment standards within the society, and believers whose doctrinal inventory is being recalled and possibly facilitated. That's a question. Is that true? Well, The answer there is, don't know. But James is calling on those in chapter 4 to join the fray and to join up. One must come back to establishment viewpoint and doctrinal viewpoint. Now, in our recent study of the doctrine of reversionism, we were able to establish the principle that those who make the volitional decision to recognize their involvement in reversionism and then resolve to extricate themselves from its throes of cosmic propaganda can be spiritually rehabilitated. That can happen because volition does that. This process can take well over a year for the most advanced. However, the current test is designed to last for almost 2 years or more. Have you ever been in a situation where you went through a process and you learned a lot about that particular process, and when it was over with, you could have taken a test and done pretty well, but then said, well, I know a little bit about that. And then time passed, say a year or so, and someone asked you a question that was pertinent to what you had learned a year or so ago. And you say, well, I know a little bit about that. I seem to have forgotten a whole lot. Which would be the truth. That's why you come to Bible class, every Bible class, because I repeat, repeat, repeat. I remember Colonel Thieme leaning over the pulpit down at Baraka. I repeat, you don't get it the first time. He roar. You're going to hear it again. I'll keep telling it until you bleed and all these kind of things. And he's true. You hearing something one time is not going to get facilitation. And there were people who would complain about a visual he put up. We've seen those before. I am going to repeat, repeat, repeat. That's what he would say. Well, I've got a lot of pictures. I'll show you a picture. Now, we're not to the point where we need this, but there's James 2:8 in an expanded translation. Okay, what does it say? If prosthesis of a first-class condition, okay, you apply the royal law, stop there. What is the royal law? James 2:8. According to the scriptures, a quote now, you shall unconditionally love from personal integrity those you encounter, including family reunions. You want to put a test taste on what you've got here? Go to your family reunion and see if you can get through the day. You shall unconditionally love from personal integrity those you encounter. And the podesis of that, honorably, you must keep on doing this. And what is this? This is a royal law. And who are these people? They're blood, for Pete's sakes. What about people with whom you work? Those you have friends getting together. Who are these people? Are they in your family? There's a lot of bloodshed that goes on in families. That's just a picture. This is how you deal with everything that's going on around you. There are people out there. There are people out there that have ideas and principles and concepts that represent the dark side. What does that tell you? That tells you that these people have lost the thought or never had it. So what are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about being around someone who needs the royal law because they don't have an inventory of ideas to form a good standard sentence that has truth behind it? What's your job then? Well, let me just tell you something, Fred. You don't know anything. Here's what you should do. Do you have a Bible? No, I hate Bibles. They're too thick. And then he says, oh, well, let me tell you a thing or two. And then you start dressing him down, and he's cutting his eyes toward the door. That situation says royal law. That person is not responsible for what he's saying. What do I mean by that? He's not responsible because he doesn't know the power of what he's rejecting. He doesn't know about the immutability of Scripture, doesn't know it. He's been told all his life the Bible is just a bunch of hoo-ha. Why should I pay attention to that? So what do you expect him to do? He's been told, don't bother with that. Those Christians are crazy, and most of them are, because they don't have doctrine. But when you finally see the light, and I'll never forget the day that verb was exegeted in my presence, and finally the lights went on, and I'd been going to church since I was in the cradle roll. I was in my 30s. I've been to church since the cradle roll. I had my name on a thing. A bassinet, is that the word? I don't remember. And finally, a guy exegeted a verb. I've been going to church all my life, and nobody ever exegeted a verb. And this guy exegeted a verb. Present active participle or something like that. And I thought, participle? That sounds dangerous. So there's the royal law. This is how you get through everything. This process can take well over a year for the most advanced. However, the current test is designed to last for almost two more years. Reversionists who are now over 2 years deep in the current rebellion may be getting their minds right. Pray that true patriots resolve to make a comeback and get back to the basics of establishment order and or re-involved themselves in doctrinal rehabilitation. But they did not. That means the dark side got them. The midterm voter rebellion could have potentially quenched the uprising with a view toward establishment and doctrinal restoration, but it did not. I've got three principles here. Number one, there is one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to deliver and destroy. Principle. If a believer in reversionism is able to make the personal choice to restore his soul. Principle. Contrarily, if the believer persists in reversionism, he will eventually endure the sin unto death. What's the bottom line on that? Well, you can take this idea to the schoolroom. I was forced to go to school. I started in the first grade. I actually was in Miss Julia Waters. That was her kindergarten. We sang songs. And then I went to the first grade, okay? I don't remember much about that. But I do remember being in the second grade. And that woman, who was the teacher, was as mean. Just stop right there. But she had me stand up to read. And so I began to read this book you had. It was one of those books, like with big pages and bigger print. And so I was to read, and I started reading whatever the paragraph was. And if I made a mistake, she had a paddle, and she had cold caught me on the backside. And then pointed at me and snickered. Actually, she never snickered anywhere. So this was my introduction to academia. So I decided at that point I wasn't going to pay too much attention to anybody after that. So then I wound up getting to the third grade, and then I got to the fourth grade, and that's when my parents finally figured out that I was in one of John Dewey's schools. Moved me over to the city school. What is the city school? It's the one on Cherry Street. Everybody knows that. City school's on Cherry Street. So I was in the fourth grade, and that's where the people actually, they had a paddle stored in the back room somewhere, but they didn't cold cock people because they were, why are people in a school anyhow? Because they're stupid. No smart people say, I'm going to go to school. You don't need to go to school if you know everything. So that's what happens when you get a doctor's degree. I know everything, and therefore I can't do anything, so I'll teach. And so that's what happens in college. Where's the place to go to learn how to think? The place to be able to make sense out of everything that goes on around you. You're a professional at what you do. You go to your job, and when you're the first few days out, you walked around collecting dust. And what? Wow. And somebody would come by, some higher up would say, how are things going today, Fred? And you would say, actually, I'm not doing very well. Why is that? Because I don't know what to do. And then he will say, who is it that runs this show here? Why is it this guy doesn't know what to do? And they would look at him and say, well, you just got here a week ago Tuesday. There's a lot to learn. He says, what are we paying him? So you've been to school and you wind up going to the job. You've been there like 6 or 7 days. You don't really know what to do. The guy has told you what to do. The first day out, he told you what to do, and it went over here. And you say, don't you remember me telling you that? He said, well, I didn't know that until you told me the first time, and it just didn't register. And he said, where did you go to school? I went to all the schools. I have a doctor's degree. I'm a doctor guy. Call me Dr. Jones. Why don't you know how to do this? Because they didn't teach this at the doctor school. You're trying to get something coming in the back door, and you want to get it out the front door, and I don't know anything about that. Don't know anything about that. Where did I leave off, Henry? Oh, did I? Well, that got me on a toot. And those are the three right there on 6:12. I'll have two more later on, so we're not through. One of the typical attitudes the reversionist expresses is to judge a fellow believer who is growing in grace and executing the Spirit-filled life. Verse 12 continues with James's critique, quote, but who are you to judge your neighbor? Wow. Who are you to judge your neighbor? You don't know what he's been through. He could have had that woman in the second grade as a teacher. Every time you stuttered, you got cold cocked from the rear. This statement in the Greek carries with it more powerful criticism than the English translation. The last sentence reads in the Greek, you, who are you? Utis eu, who are you? The impact of this statement is not a request for information as the English question could imply, but rather an imperative question of accusation. In other words, you, who are you? Followed by the pronoun who, tis, followed by the verbal sin of the noun krites, to judge. Who are you to judge anybody? At the beginning of verse 12, we observe the word judge with a capital J, but here it's lowercase. And James is making the point that God is the only individual who has the authority, the power, and the justice to judge a believer. God's the only one. In context, the person being examined is a believer in reversionism who is judging another believer who, in context, is identified as his neighbor. Now, this is the first of all the volition of the royal law. Violation of the royal law. If the neighbor in question is to be judged, then the one to carry out the judgment is God, not this individual. Now, throughout chapter 4, we have observed the ongoing behaviors of those in context. None of these individuals are qualified to judge anyone about anything. However, each and all do come under the divine scrutiny of the Father. That's where you come into the picture. So every believer falls under the principle of the royal law noted in James 2:8, which states, if, that's protasis, note the board, this is where this comes in, if protasis of a first-class condition, and it's true, if you apply the royal law according to the Scripture, you shall unconditionally love from personal integrity those you encounter. Followed by the apotheosis, honorably, you must keep on doing this. There's some principles now involved here. That's principles regarding the royal law, which we just stated. But we've run out of time here, so we will take that subject back up when we get back at about 10 till the hour. See you then.